If that meditation is an indication of today's class, then we have a planned class ahead of us. I want to welcome all of our new friends again. There seems to be a special something in consciousness which many of us are feeling now, as if we were entering a new threshold. Perhaps it's a measure of that inner peace, a measure of assurance that we are really making spiritual progress and that impossibilities are becoming very meaningful now as present possibilities. In this chapter, the 14th of John, we hear again of the Comforter. We remember in the Beatitudes we were told, "Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted." And always the Master is telling us that he's going to leave. And now he tells us that not only will he leave, but when he leaves, the Father will send the Comforter in my place. And then he begins to tell us more about the Comforter. In the 17th verse, he gets very specific. He says, referring to the Comforter, "Even the Spirit of Truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him, but ye know him, for he dwelleth in you. He dwelleth with you, and shall be in you." You remember the line before, "And I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another Comforter, that he may abide with you forever. Even the Spirit of Truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him, but ye know him, for he dwelleth with you and shall be in you." And so he has identified the Comforter as the Spirit of Truth. He will add more to that definition as time goes on, but at the moment he is called the Comforter, the Spirit of Truth. Now the world has a letter of truth. The world has truth as the human mind knows truth. And we're being told here that the way the human mind knows truth is insufficient. The human concept of truth is not the Spirit of Truth. The Comforter is the Spirit of Truth. And now we're being lifted to the awareness that we must receive a higher level of truth than we can know in the human mind. And if there is a degree of unrest, discord, concern, doubt, a sense of insecurity, a sense of no purpose, whatever we have entertained in the way of not knowing God aright, has been the lack of the Spirit of Truth. Not having the Spirit of Truth, we wander off in that human sense of things which tries to make its own limited human judgments. And regardless of how high we mount in human truth, until it becomes not human but the Spirit of Truth, we actually do not know reality. We are always in a limited, finite universe. We are always in the opposites of health today and bad health tomorrow, or limitation today and some degree of fullness tomorrow, but never in the wholeness of our own being. And that lack is always the lack of the Spirit of Truth. This, then, is the Comforter. However, we find behind these words something more. We find, for example, that we have no capacity to receive the Spirit of Truth in our human mind. And as a result, having lived most of our adult lives in a human mind, we have been without the Spirit of Truth. You might say we've been poor of the Spirit, poor in the Spirit of Truth. We've had no faculty to receive it. The Spirit of Truth cannot enter a human mind. The Spirit of Truth can only enter the Christ mind. And then we have to say to ourselves, well, do I have the Christ mind? Is that why I have not received that Comforter, that Spirit of Truth, which knows all, which goes unto the Father, which is the will and fulfills the will of the Father, which is grace itself? Is this why I haven't received it? Because I'm not in the Christ mind? And then comes a very shocking truth. If I'm not in the Christ mind, what mind am I in? You can scan the world today and ask yourself, who is in the Christ mind? You can look in religion, you can look in science, you can look in industry, you can look in government. You can look everywhere and say, who is in the Christ mind? Who is receiving the Spirit of Truth? And when, sadly, you must say, very few that I know are in the Christ mind. A Joel was in the Christ mind. A Jesus was in the Christ mind. A John was in the Christ mind. But how many can I name who are in the Christ mind? Then what mind are they in? What mind have we been in ourselves? The admission is sad, but it must be made. If we're not in the Christ mind, we must be in the Antichrist mind. We who say we love the Father, but live in the Antichrist mind. And you can judge yourself from that point. If I'm not receiving the living Spirit of Truth, I'm in the Antichrist mind. What is the new Comforter? The Christ mind. The mind that takes you out of the Antichrist mind, which receiveth not the things of God. Why have I had fluctuations in my health? Fluctuations in my relationships? Why have I had doubts and concerns and even deep fears? Because that's the nature of the Antichrist mind. It is not the nature of the Christ mind. We're being told, have ye that mind that was in Christ Jesus? When you are in the Christ mind, you have walked through the threshold of all that is untrue, the threshold of all that denies the presence of God where you stand. We have walked through the threshold of false power. We learn that matter is not at all what it seemed to be. We learn that evil is not at all what it seemed to be. We learn about a deathless universe. We learn about an immaculate creation, which the Antichrist mind has no way of discerning. And then we say, is that Christ mind too difficult to come by? If that's the mind I need to receive the Spirit of Truth, we find that it was the mind of those disciples of John. In all his letters, he addresses his words to those who among us have received the inner unction, the anointing, those who have been born of the Spirit, those who are in the Spirit of Truth. Are we any less than the students of John? And Paul, he too was teaching the inner anointing. Are we any less than the students of Paul? We begin to discover that until you are consciously alert to the difference between the Christ mind and the human mind, you sort of float off in human thought, trying to live with your own brilliance and never receive that living spirit of truth which lifts the veil, which reveals that here now is the kingdom. Reality is here. Reality is perfect. Reality is infinite. This infinite, perfect kingdom of reality is here now and discernible only to the Christ mind. The human mind, which receiveth not the things of God, is unaware of the presence of the kingdom of God on earth, and is therefore incapable of transforming this earth into the activity of heaven. But not the Christ mind. The Christ mind goes unto the Father. The Christ mind is the instrument of God on earth. The Christ mind of you is the only way in which you receive the living spirit of truth direct from the Father. And then Scripture becomes alive in your consciousness, for you know it's telling you that God speaks only to the Christ mind. God reveals only to the Christ mind. God functions only through the Christ mind. Peace, beauty, truth, harmony, life, love can only function in and through the Christ mind. And until we are in the Christ mind, we are divorced from the presence of reality, even though we think we're walking in reality. So it becomes necessary to establish that conscious awareness of the Christ mind in us as the focal point from which we operate. As creature minds, working out of a human brain and a five-sense mechanism, we are not the Christ mind. And we are only aware of the realm in which the physical senses can function. And so we are aware only of the realm of the body, of material forms, material objects, and we are aware of the activity of the human mind. We cannot come into that realm which transcends, that realm which is above but present, that realm which is the basic cause of all that appears in the visible world. We cannot live in cause, we can only live in effect until Christ mind is that mind through which we function. Now, truth has to be our basic yardstick. We have to know how to identify truth. We have to know how to identify untruth. We have to be able to say that is not truth and that is truth. And until you can do this, you are not opening the door which leads to the experience of the Christ mind. Now, truth begins with the Word of God. It doesn't begin with human opinions. If we try to establish our concept of truth, we find we're on a foundation that wilts. But if we live in the concept not of our mind, but in the statement of truth given to us by the Christ, then we have a foundation. A dependable foundation. When the rains come, it does not wash this foundation away. And the truth of God given through Christ is that God is the one life. And so you start with that truth. God is the one creator. God is the one being. God is the one invisible substance. God is the one invisible cause. God is the one law. God is the one power. And you have a basis for the beginning of truth and consciousness. Now then, there are three things that I can think of at the moment that would help us to identify that which is true and that which is not true. You look at something, no matter what it is, and you must say, did God create it? Now, if God did not create it, it is not true. You look at something and say, is that the substance of God? If it is not, it is not true. You look at something and say, is that temporary? Or is it permanent? Is it eternal? If it is temporary, it is not true. Truth is the substance of God. Truth is the creation of God. Truth is eternal because all that God creates is eternal. Truth is infinite. Is it finite? Then it is not of God. Now, this is where we have to come face to face with truth. We have to begin at a place where truth is so firmly embedded in our consciousness that we can look at all that is not truth and know it is not truth. And until we can do that, we can't take the necessary next step. Out here, we look at form. And we say, did God create it? And in this level of our work, you cannot quibble. Did God create form? And if you're in doubt, ask yourself if that form is eternal. Ask yourself if that form is the substance of God. Ask yourself if that form is finite. And you find the answer is clear. It's just a matter of learning that you must accept truth. That which is finite is not of God. God is infinite. That which is temporary is not of God. God is permanent, eternal. That which is material is not of God. God is spirit. God did not create form. Therefore, it's not true. Whatever is not true is not here. That's the level of the work where you open the way to the Christ mind. Whatever is not true cannot be present. It doesn't matter what it looks like or what your feelings about it are. Only truth is present. God is truth. God is all. Only truth is present. Untruth never changes truth. Untruth never removes truth. Truth remains. Truth is permanent. Truth is always present. And it's not sharing its place with untruth. Untruth is the false concept entertained in the natural mind. But truth is there and does not change because the natural mind has no faculty to witness that truth. Right where form appears to be, something else is. Yes, spirit itself. Spiritual form. Spiritual body. Spiritual individuality. Spiritual substance. And only the Christ mind which discerns that knows that. The human mind looking at spiritual substance sees material form. But they're not both there. Now that is what I mean by living in truth. Did God make it? If God make it, how can it die? Makes it, how can it die? How can it suffer? How can it be sick? How can it be imperfect? Don't play games with yourself. Don't turn away from truth, no matter how it hurts. You'll find this is how you come to the Christ mind. as you pare away untruth, ultimately only truth is left. And when you're in truth, why, you're in the Christ mind. The Christ mind can only witness truth, and until you are only witnessing truth, you're in the anti-Christ mind. Now we're coming then to a realm which is different than the human mind's knowledge. We learn to identify everything. We look at it, and all we want to know about it, is it true? Is this situation true? Is this object truth? Is this condition truth? Everything must be identified as truth or untruth. And when you discover that it's not truth, you're ready for the step, the important step. Whatever is not truth is not here. It cannot be. Only truth can be present. Once you identify truth and untruth, you know what is here and what is not here. The Comforter, the Spirit of Truth, is that awareness now that what is here is what God placed here and nothing else. You are not accepting a second creator or a second creation. You are being lifted to the awareness of divinity. Behind the mortal form, the non-divine form, is the invisible divine. And unless you're willing to look at and through the non-divine, which is not of God, you will not know the divine which is of God. You will not enter that realm which is reality. And so many of us have learned to train ourselves to look hard at the fact and to accept that when the Master says, "My kingdom is not of this world," the Master means precisely that. That there is no truth in this world. No matter what you look at, it is not true. No matter what you see, it is not true. No matter what you touch, it is not true. It is not true because you are looking at it through a human mind. And you are only seeing to the capacity of that human mind. And what you are seeing is not there. It is in your human mind. You are looking at your thought. Now, we've been through the study of looking at our thought, learning that everything we see and touch and feel is within our thought. We are looking at a thought form. But you remember here in this verse, the Master tells us that the world cannot receive the Spirit of Truth. And therefore, if we are in the world, if we are accepting the forms of the world, we are those who are in the world who cannot receive the Spirit of Truth. The Spirit of Truth is not in the world. It is in the kingdom. It is in the kingdom which never perishes. It is eternal. It is permanent. And it is not moved or changed or altered in any way by what happens in the world. When there is a condition in the world which appears to be one of sickness or suffering, it is not changing the permanent truth that is there present. Untruth never changes truth. Truth is ever present, ever perfect, ever infinite, ever real, ever made of the living spirit. And it does not change because the human thought patterns see something untrue. So we become aware of the patterns of thought, which, though they present pictures that are untrue, are not changing the presence of the Spirit of Truth, which is ever there, awaiting recognition by your Christ mind. It's as if you were to pick up the telephone book and look for a number and then dial it. And someone on the other end says, "I'm sorry, this isn't the party you wanted." And then you go back to the phone book and you discover that you dialed the wrong number. You couldn't read the print. It was too fine for you. The correct number was there, but you couldn't read it. And so you squint some more and you dial again. And each time, it's because you can't read the little 5 or the 8 or something. And you dial wrong numbers. The right number is always present while you're dialing the wrong numbers because your vision is insufficient. And then you take a glass or a pair of eyeglasses and you look at it again and you get the right number and you dial and now you are put through directly. So it is. In fine print, you might say, is the invisible kingdom, ever present. But if we don't have that vision which can see it, everything that we see is wrong. If we can't see what is there, then whatever we do see isn't there. The wrong number isn't in the phone book. The right number is there. But if you can't see the right number, you get the wrong one. The kingdom is here, but if you can't see it, you cannot see what is real. Everything you see must be unreal. If you cannot touch the kingdom, everything you touch must be unreal. If your human mind has no capacity to make contact with the present kingdom of God, then everything your human mind makes contact with is unreal. And this is the revelation again of that mind which is called the universal world mind. The world mind which is the father of the human mind. The missing link in all of our problems. Always what you're looking at and which you think to be present is not what is there but what the world mind is picturing to you. God didn't make the suffering, but the world mind presents a picture of suffering. You cannot see the God present, the power present, the truth present, the perfect, immaculate conception present, but you do see the suffering that God didn't put there. You can't see the fine print, so you see your concept of it. The suffering is your concept about what you cannot see. The lack is your concept about what you cannot see. The earthquake, the flood, and the fire are our concepts about what we cannot see. Bad weather is our concept about what we cannot see. Every disease on this earth is our concept about what we cannot see. If we could see the fine print, if we could put on the Christ mind and look at what is there, you would not see the disease. You would not see the cripple. You would not see the withered arm. You would not see the blind man. You would not see a dying person. They aren't there. To be there, they would have to be God created. They would have to be the substance of God. They are not. And so we see this world is our inability to see the fine print of the kingdom. And everything we see in this world represents the world mind outpicturing itself as the things we think we're seeing. The trick then is to know that we are imprisoned in the world mind. And that the purpose of our being lifted up to receive the Spirit of Truth is that until we do, we remain imprisoned in the world mind. We remain a part of the world mind's false concept about the kingdom it cannot see. Each one of us, instead of being heir to the fullness of God, as a creature we are heir only to the false concepts of the world mind. Now, to look then at what is untrue and to recognize it as the world mind, appearing to us as this form, this person, this condition, this thing, this lifespan, is to correctly identify untruth. It isn't there. What put it there? If God didn't put it there, what put it there? A counterfeit world mind had to put it there for you to see it. Now, while we're identifying truth, we have to see that the Father, being life, could not create death. That the Father, being peace, could not create discord. The Father, being harmony, the Father, being love, could not create hate. The Father, being eternality, could not create age, could not create time. The Father, being infinite, could not create finite space. Infinity never becomes less than itself. It never becomes finite. Eternality never becomes time. Peace never becomes war or discord. Life never becomes death. These things never change. But world mind makes us think they change. World mind presents the picture of time. World mind presents the picture of constant change. World mind presents the very opposite of truth. And we are imprisoned in those opposites without the Christ mind. You cannot come out of the opposites presented by world mind while you remain in human mind. Because world mind is your human mind. Only when you step out of human mind are you out of world mind. And that's the importance now of this comforter, the Christ mind. The Christ mind will look at all of the lies presented by the world mind. The world mind will present finitude. It will present forms coming into the world and forms going out of the world. And the Christ mind will say, those forms are not created by my Father. They're not immaculate. They're not eternal. They're not life. They are concepts in the mind. The Christ will look at the human concepts of disease and say, that's not by my Father. My Father created perfection, and perfection includes the capacity to maintain perfection. Maintaining its own perfection is the power of Christ, and therefore, what is this which is diseased? It's a world mind hallucination. And each individual mind, each human mind in the world mind, must see this hallucination and react to it. But we, as we are receiving the Spirit of Truth, we learn that the Christ mind in us can look at the untruth without being hypnotized by it. The Christ mind can look at all disease and say, my Father didn't create it, and therefore only what my Father created can be present. This, not created by my Father, is a world mind idea. I only suffer from it as I rest in that human mind which cannot see the fine print. I have a wrong number, but I don't know it. As I find the fine print, because the Christ mind can and does, I have the right number. And the right number shows me that right where the world sees disease, there is perfect spiritual flesh. Wherever the world mind presents a picture unlike God, the Christ mind finds the total opposite is completely true and no second. In your Christ mind, you know the cripple, the blind man, the deaf man, all those who suffer from famine and poverty are world mind shadows, seemingly real only to the mind that perceives them. The mind that is still the natural mind, which is not capable of receiving the Spirit of Truth, the Comforter. Identifying truth, then, is the way you open the portals to the Christ mind. Wherever you look, take a moment, no matter what it is, do not be afraid to face it with truth. Is it God created? Is it God's substance? Is it permanent? Whatever does not answer that is not truth and is not present. And then, having identified untruth properly, the question is, how are you going to face untruth? How are you going to meet it? What are you going to do about it? And this is where only the Christ mind can take you through the next threshold. The allness of God is the law, the reality, the truth of being. That which is untrue is not changing God. That which is untrue exists only in the mind that perceives it. It has no real existence. The truth is still there where the unreal seems to be. And therefore, what you are going to do about it in the Christ mind is absolutely nothing. That's what you do about it. Absolutely nothing. You have confidence in the power of God to maintain the kingdom of God. You have confidence in the Christ of your being to remain immaculate through all of the seeming outer imperfections. You have confidence that the Word of God, the power of God, the presence of God, the law of God, the government of God is functioning right there. And all that is necessary for you is not to change what is out there, but to change minds. To change from the mind which perceives to the Christ mind which knows. Only what God placed there is there. And as you change minds, you don't have to change any of the forms. The changing of minds is the change of consciousness. The changing of minds is the place where the Comforter comes unto you. This new mind is the Comforter because it dissolves the world mind. When the Christ mind is in you, when you are standing fast in it, aware that only truth can be present, only reality can be present, that that which is imperfect is unreal and therefore only exists in the mind that perceives it, nowhere else, then you can face the fire and the flood, the tidal wave, and the inclement weather, and the unfortunate situations you can face every catastrophe, knowing that in your Christ mind, these do not exist. Your Christ mind breaks the veil of hypnosis. Your Christ mind lives in the kingdom of God on earth as it is in heaven. And it is your function in that Christ mind to transform every false outer appearance by resting in the conscious awareness that the Comforter within me can be trusted. The Comforter can be trusted to reveal God's present kingdom where the human mind was revealing the false concept called world. Now this is the importance then of John 17 to us. We're being lifted into a new mind, a mind which knows the Father, which is the instrument for the Father, which doesn't stand there denying the world, but is actively bringing forth that which is of the Father. Never accepting untruth as being present or possibly present. And so corporeality, material form, material objects, material conditions, all these which are perishable and not of the Father, in the Christ mind, are not accepted as being present. We come to that power, that Christ power, which is perfect power, as being the only present activity. No matter what activity appears visibly in your Christ mind, you know that only Christ power is present. And that when you know this, you are knowing the truth, which will reveal the presence of that Christ power. Your function is not to go beyond knowing the truth. The truth will make you free. But you will not know the truth in a human mind. You will know it in your Christ mind, and it will make you free. It will reveal the self that was born of a virgin immaculately. The self that did not depend on human conception. The self that did not begin with your birth certificate. The self that does not end with your death certificate. The self that is independent of the world that is not the creation of God. That is the high place to which the Christ is leading us now. I can assure you that once you can identify truth and untruth boldly and stand on that which is untrue is not here, you'll find that there are times when you will lack the confidence to do that, and you will find there are times when your words seem as if they're just words without any realization behind them, and you will also find that there are times when there's no power in your words. But you still must make that step until your words are not just words, until they are backed with discernment, until they are substantial, until they are born out of conviction, until you feel a spiritual awareness, and then you discover you're not uttering words, but the word is functioning itself through you. And there's a backbone to it, a spiritual backbone. And then you will discover you have opened the way to the Christ mind. These are the footsteps you take. We become receptive only to truth, responsive only to truth. That which is untrue cannot awaken a response from you. You do not react to that which is untrue. It isn't there. So become truth conscious, because truth in consciousness dissolves the world mind and dissolves the presentations of the world mind, which are antichrist. If you're not in this new Christ mind, you're in the world mind, which is the antichrist mind. This is the separation from the kingdom. I think the Master will accentuate these points now so that we can clearly grasp that unless I am responsive only to truth and consciously, every moment, looking at everything I see and touch, knowing the truth or untruth about it, consciously, continuously, I will be forced in some way to accept and respond to the world mind. I will respond to sickness and suffering. I will think that things are bad today, but they'll be better tomorrow. I will think that time is running short. I'll be capable of all kinds of human equivocations, because if I am not conscious of truth, untruth will make me conscious of it. World mind is unceasing and continuous, and it controls our thoughts subconsciously, invisibly, involuntarily, so that our thoughts as human beings are never our own. We think they are. All our human thoughts are not our own. Our thoughts are never our own until we become conscious of truth, and then the thoughts that come through us are not the involuntary thoughts of the world mind. They are the thoughts of the Father, the invisible angels, the purifiers, the light. And they lead us to our new glory. I, says the out of Jesus, will go away now. The out of Jesus represents the visible activity of the Christ. But the visible activity of the Christ is not enough. We must be turned now to the invisible activity. The invisible activity of Jesus is the invisible Christ. We must be turned to the invisible Christ of our own being. We must be turned to be taught directly by the Father. All must be taught by the Father within, through the Christ mind. The Christ mind listening to the Father instead of the human mind listening to the world mind. A complete new system, a complete new way of life. For the Christ mind listens to God, the human mind listens to the world mind. The Christ mind lives in the kingdom of God, the human mind lives in the world. The Christ mind lives in eternity, the human mind lives in time. The Christ mind lives in reality. The human mind lives in its own thought concept. We're being lifted out of the human mind, dependence on the human mind, dependence on human authorities with human minds, to our own Christ mind, which receives the bread of life, the power, the wisdom, the truth, the love, the infinity of God. Our Christ mind is the heir to all that God has. And the Christ itself is turning us to that Christ mind. Now it's saying, have ye that mind which I am demonstrating on this earth as being independent of all form, independent of death, independent of body, independent of human circumstance, independent of matter, independent of time and space. There is such a mind. It is your mind. Have ye that mind? And to get to know it, to live in it, look at all things and separate them. The sheep from the goats, the truth from the untruth, the wheat from the chaff. Respond only to truth. To that which is untrue, pay no mind. Respond not. It has no power because it is not there. Untruth has no power. All power is in truth. And when you have trained yourself to respond only to truth, you discover the non-power of untruth, the non-power of disease, the non-power of pain, the non-power of suffering, the non-power of lack, the non-power of limitation. And that non-power means that because abundance is present, that which presents lack cannot present a real lack. There is no real lack. There is no power on earth to create a real lack. There is no power on earth to move away abundance. It is present, and that is the truth. That is the meaning of non-power. Abundance is present. That is truth. God is present, and God is abundance. Therefore, lack of abundance is impossible. You simply have no capacity to see the abundance in the human mind, or to experience the abundance, or to be an instrument through which the abundance appears in the human mind. But in the Christ mind, the abundance is made visible as loaves and fishes coming from the sky, gold in a fish's mouth, a raven feeding Elijah. That which is the need fulfilled is the evidence that abundance is always present, that the grace of the Father is always our sufficiency, without exception, in all things. But if we think that there is a power to remove that abundance, we're not in truth. That is the law. In all things, my grace is thy sufficiency. There is no power to remove the sufficiency. Then why don't we experience it? We're in the wrong mind. We're in the mind which cannot receive the sufficiency. It has no capacity to see the fine print, no capacity through which spirit can flow, because it's a mind made of a physical brain, of physical senses. Spirit does not flow through physicality. The Christ mind is not made of a physical brain and physical senses. It is the mind of spirit. And the Spirit of God flows through the Christ mind. And the sufficiency appears as the need fulfilled. Non-power means that whatever denies the presence of that sufficiency is a lie and has no capacity to remove that sufficiency. You can be in dire poverty and that sufficiency is there. You can be in dire famine, and the sufficiency is there. There is no power to remove it. But you cannot experience it until you know the truth that it is there. And then rest in the knowledge that because it is here, that which says it is not here, it is not here. You have differentiated between the wheat and the tare. You have isolated the truth. Sufficiency is here. Food is here. That which I need is here. The rent is here. The harmony is here. The beauty is here. The peace is here. The truth is here. The perfection in all of my being is here. I'm not fooled into being this temporary mortal self. You're lifted back up into your only and eternal self. And your eternal self is here, even though the world mind, echoed through the human mind, makes you appear as if you are not eternal being. You cannot remove your eternal self. And the knowledge that your eternal self is here reveals that there is no power to remove it. We must know there is no power to remove the presence of God. It's just a matter of being in that mind which is willing to be trained until you release the creature mind. In our meditation, before we have a short recess, let us take the subject which is true, that God is my sufficiency in all things, and see that this truth never changes. There are two minds that look at it. The mind which is not mind and cannot see this truth and comprehend it, and that developed state of mind called Christ mind, which is automatically in this one divine Father. It is the very mind of the Father, and it is ever fulfilling itself effortlessly through grace. One mind knows only the power of grace, the power of the Father, and the other mind thinks there are other powers. And by these so-called other powers, it is hypnotized into the belief that there is a power that can keep grace away, push it aside. That something beside grace is present. That mind, you must learn, is not mind at all. It is the pretender. It is not the mind of God, the creation of God. And when you have that mind still, you find you are lifted into Christ mind. When the false mind is still, I am in my Father without a second. The Father is my Father. Your Father. There is only one Father, not two. There are no human fathers in reality. There is only the eternal Father, Spirit God. That is my Father. That is the knowledge in the Christ mind. God is my Father. And God is the Father of the one who calls himself my Father. God is the Father of the one who calls himself my Son. We have one Father. That is what the Christ mind knows. And we are all heirs because we have one Father. We are heirs to all that is in the kingdom of God here, now, because the Father said so. as Christ Jesus taught, my Father and your Father, so the Christ mind in us accepts. My Father and your Father are one Father. We are all the activity of God on earth. Nothing is withheld. The fullness of God being is always where we are. Whatever denies this is not only untrue, but is not even present, but seems to be. All that can be present is that which is of God. You put up your sword and you stand on this without defense, without reaction, without response to the invading thought, no matter what it says. It has no power. All power is in the awareness that God is present now. Without a sword, without a plan, without a defense, without a scheme, you already have all that God has, here and now. All that I have is thine, here and now. It is a truth that never changes. There is no power on earth to change it. It is true now. And in your Christ mind, you rest in this truth. And then you have found the inner comforter who expresses God on earth as it is in heaven. Whatever you need, I, the Christ mind, already am. Rest in me. Whatever you need, I am. This is the comforter within you assuring you, whatever you need, the Christ in you already is. Rest in who you are.